Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com. Broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. Oops. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are out there in the world today. Robbie Raz here with you as always. Got Logan. This is like back-to-back weeks that we've done a show together, man.
I know, man. I'm just defying all logic.
Got the year off to a good start.
I know, man.
It's kind of awesome. How's everything going? Good?
Yeah, I mean, not bad.
You were making tater tots earlier. That's
cool. I was making, yeah, the baby loves some freaking tater tots, let me tell you. But yeah, no, I mean, all's good. Well, it was about 67 degrees today in sunny Austin, Texas. It was quite nice. I was in Boston yesterday, and it was like negative 42, so kind of glad to be home. But otherwise, yeah, man, things are going great. Just steaming along.
Good, glad to hear it. Lots of rain here in California, but that's we need that.
So, are you over your drought, Rob?
No.
I know, I'm just messing with you, dude.
No, we need a few years, but we're getting there. We've got Gabriel Alvarez of Maya Selva here with us tonight. Gabriel, thanks for hanging out with us, man.
Thank you for having me again.
Always a pleasure, man. It's always fun to hang out with you. Look at you're looking good, man. You've slimmed down.
I had to do it, man. It was
good for you.
All that road munching. Caught up to me quick.
All that time, airport food and the food, the driving food and all that, that'll get you.
I think New Orleans was my last straw.
Oh, just the food there was so good, though.
Dude, I think I gained like 12 or 13 pounds on that trip alone.
Just go out with a bang on that one.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah, speaking of New Orleans,
tonight, I think we would end up.
What'd you say, Logan?
Have you guys watched the show Treme?
I've heard of it. I haven't watched it.
Dude, if you're going to watch a show, watch that. It's on Amazon Prime. It's streaming all four seasons. It's freaking amazing.
It's an HBO show, correct?
Either that or Showtime or something like that.
And that is the show that's like, isn't it post Katrina?
It's like, yeah, each season's like, one is like 3 months, like season one's 3 months after, the next one's like a year and a half, the next one's three. But yeah, I mean, it's basically all the same characters. Dude, it's so good.
Yeah, I've never watched it.
Sorry for interrupting. You started talking about New Orleans, and I started talking about how much I didn't want to talk about how much I hated New Orleans. So I want to talk about something positive.
I loved it. I had a great time.
That was horrible.
It was hot as balls, but
sticky.
Yeah, it was. It was the air was real heavy. But beyond that, I mean, the food was great. A lot of good booze down there too. So we had a good. My wife came down. I've told the story, but we had a really good time staying down there. Saw a lot of cool stuff. Saw some alligators. Threw marshmallows at them. And they love marshmallows. But
alligators love marshmallows.
Yeah,
they do.
You didn't go on a tour or anything like that when you were there, huh?
No, dog.
It was fun, man. It was fun. They come right up to the boat, and it's like they're jumping right. I mean, you could reach out and lose a hand. And they're big. They're scary, and they just look ancient. It's like you feel like you're going back in time when you see them. They just look so old. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. We're talking about New Orleans because that was where IPCPR 2015 was held. This year we're back in Vegas.
Thank God.
No alligators in Vegas. It's going to be hot as balls again, but it's a dry heat.
it's a dry heat.
I actually, after spending some time in New Orleans, that it's a dry heat phrase that actually resonates with me now, and it means something, because that's dry heat makes a big difference. It's still hot. I mean, 115 degrees is still hot, but it's not 90 degrees with 90% humidity. So, but anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. Let's talk about some Maya Selva cigars. So, I mean, with last year was really when we all kind of got to know the Maya Selva line. I've been around for a while. Obviously, I mean, you guys are celebrating 20 years. We're celebrating 20 years last year, 2015. But for America, it was relatively new. And I personally, in 2014.
I lost like everything you said in that sentence.
Well, I was just waxing poetic. I'll get to a question here in a minute. I'm actually smoking the Florida Selva Maduro in the Robusto size. The number 15, the Torpedo, was my personal cigar of the year in 2014 for a new release. And I think you expanded some lines last year. So kind of give everybody a little bit of background on how 2015 was for Maya Silva after, you know, getting your feet wet, really, in America?
Yeah, 2015 was basically our year to get our feet wet, you know, and make sure that everybody understood that we're here to stay, and we got some kick-ass cigars, you know, and we want to make sure that to get them into everybody's hands that we can, and that's why we reached out to you guys and through the media sources is where I love doing, because community, and you're true cigar guys, you get into it, you truly find out what's behind the cupcake, you know, the consumers. And I love that aspect of it. So my 2015 for us was a year that we made ourselves known here in the United States as a company that's going to stay. On top of that, we expanded. We did a U.S. exclusive expansion for the Flor de Selva lines, both in the Connecticut and the Maduro. We released the Toro, which is what I'm smoking right now, which I can't wait for you to try it because the 15 was my favorite. And I can't stop smoking these now.
Yeah, I haven't smoked that one yet. The 15, loved it. I really like the Robusto. The profile is a little bit different. And, I mean, you expect that going from Vitola to Vitola. But, I mean, look at, like, I don't know if it really resonates how oily that wrapper is. This is a phenomenal cigar. Even Logan likes it.
I don't like the 15. I haven't smoked the Toro, but the Robusto.
The Robusto's legit, man.
That's the best Vitola, hands down.
But yeah, so you released it, like you were saying, in a Toro. I haven't smoked that size yet. What's the range? Is it just a 6x50 standard Toro? Did we lock up?
Can you hear me?
Your internet blows, bro, down there in Miami or wherever you are, man. You need to go talk to Comcast.
This Uverse sucks.
It's a little bit choppy. It's a little bit choppy.
We've had techs out here at the house like 4 times in the last year, and they still can't seem to get it right. It's horrible.
I feel that same way about Comcast, but I think it's one of those things that are a necessary evil, and we'll never be happy. But so keep going, and then I know you guys also had another release this past year.
Yeah, we also released in the Flor de Selva line, we released a new blend to commemorate our 20th anniversary, which we released it in a Lancero. Mm-hmm. And that was our 20th anniversary Lancero cigar, which actually the member of the year, whoever gets that for Cigar Federation, will be getting a box of those.
Awesome. Yeah, we haven't even talked about that.
I can tell you who it won't be.
Who won't
Charlie.
I'm ready.
Smear campaign right now.
It might be. So we'll get into this a little bit more, and we'll flesh out the details on CigarFederation.com. But just like last year in 2014, 2015, the Cigar Federation Member of the Year is sponsored by Maya Silva, and the winner is going to get a box of the limited edition Lanceros that Gabriel was just talking about. But we'll get into that a little bit more later. So. That's a pretty sweet prize. I feel like I smoked that at the show.
Yeah, I gave you guys one at the show.
I think I smoked that at the show, and the Flor de Selva Natural didn't really hit my palate, but the Lancero did. Had a lot of nice flavor to it and a nice little spice.
A wrapper.
We switched
the wrapper. We tried to stay true to the blend, but we switched the wrapper. To that Habano, it's a Habano Jamastrán, delicious wrapper.
Yeah.
The cream out of that, it's just incredible. The spice that Lancero provides, it's really nice. It keeps you interested all the way through. Nice, complex. You know, it's a really, really delicious cigar, and it's one to be smoked while you're sitting, truly having the time to smoke that cigar, because putting it down and lighting it up again doesn't give that cigar justice.
Yeah, that's a real nice smoke, and that's a nice prize for whoever's going to win it. Is that a one-time limited edition, or are you going to keep making those?
Yes, that's a one-time limited edition. We made 5,000 boxes for the U.S.
Oh, wow.
Or 5,000 cigars for the U.S., I'm sorry, 500 boxes. Once they're gone, they're gone, and I think they're available through Cigar Federation store.
They are, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, And once they're gone, they're gone. So if you can and you're a Lancero lover, I definitely recommend grab a box, smoke a couple, and stash them and smoke little by little so you can see how that changes with the aging on it.
That sounds like something On needs to do. On is
no joke.
A member of Cigar Federation. He was on our Cigar Safari trip last year, and that man is... I don't know that anybody in the world has more Lanceros than him. He is like, it's... He probably has some already, because he is... When it comes to Lanceros, he is... he's really all about it. He's dialed in with the Lanceros. So, so when you say kind of 2015 was a year for you guys to get comfortable, really, and everybody get comfortable with your company.
Exactly.
So how, I mean, from a business standpoint, how did everything go? I mean,
it went very well.
Yeah.
A lot of new customers, a lot of expansion, covering some new states that we weren't covering, some new territory, solidified some kick-ass reps out there. You know our boys out in Arizona, Fear the Beard, Anthony and Melanie.
Fear the Beard, or it's down to a beard, correct?
Well, Fear of Beard, yeah. Yeah, I mean, unless Melanie starts growing a beard, that's going to be kind of scary.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
I wouldn't recommend it, though.
Yeah, I would tell her not.
Yeah, no, that's a pass on that.
Maybe for Halloween. Stuff.
Yeah, yeah, well, there you go, Halloween. Then,
Halloween. That's, and then it'll be Fear the Beard again.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we now have a new rep in the Atlanta area. She just came on board, or Tennessee Tobacco, which is Shannon Baxter. A lot of people
know her.
She repped House of Emilio, and she used to work for Burns Tobacconist out in Chattanooga.
She doesn't rep House of Emilio anymore?
She still has them, yeah. But she went off as a broker.
Because I thought she was in-house. Is
they
she
were,
not anymore?
I don't know exactly what happened, but I saw a lot of the in-house guys from House of Emilio kind of like disperse, and they're all like brokering now and stuff like that from what I understood. I don't know exactly the intricacies of it, but I've seen it in a couple of areas.
Cool. Just got to ask.
Texas, we got a new rep in California now. Patrick, he's handling us over there. And it's just expansion is what we were trying to do and solidify some reps, and now I'm taking everybody to Honduras next week so they can see the true history of the company, get to visit the farms, get to visit the factories, get to meet Nestor Plasencia, hang out with Maya for a whole week, and get down to business and project for this year now.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, speaking of Honduras, and I always ask this question, and I don't think I've asked you, is the landing at that airport as rough as it sounds?
Dude, I have a video on my Facebook. You got to look for it.
Okay, I will. It's,
as the airplane's coming in to approach the airport, it has to book a U-turn around the mountain to land. And the minute it passes that mountain, it's a descent straight to the runway.
Yeah.
And then it's the brakes, and pray to God you stop.
Yeah.
So they're using Navy pilots, not Air Force pilots.
Yeah.
Do you get my joke?
To the aircraft carriers.
Exactly, because they just, you always know when you're flying commercial, if it's an airline, if it's an Air Force guys come in swooping, it's real gentle, nice. Navy guys just come in, just hit the runway, bounce.
I don't like those guys.
I don't like them either.
Oh,
it's
man.
Not, it's not,
I mean,
comfortable.
I appreciate everything that they do, but I mean the pilots that land hard like that, oh, man. I hate landing. I don't mind flying. I like to fly. I'm comfortable with it, but the landing part, like, I'm just sitting there. That's why I'm sitting up straight right at the end. I'm kind of holding on to the handrails, and I'm saying, okay. In my head, I'm saying, okay, do a good job. And they usually do, but sometimes, man, they hit, and then there's always a lady behind me who screams. How she's on every flight that I'm on, I don't know, but she does it. Anyway, yeah, that airport, I've never seen it, but I've heard stories, and it scares me. But I'll look for that video. Hey, guys, you're listening to
The first time was shocking.
Yeah.
And then every time after that, it's been just impressive.
Yeah.
That's definitely
what I like. You're in awe of the skills of the pilot.
Definitely.
I just prefer the really simple landings, just the real easy ones, you know. Guys, listen to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com. Broadcast around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network. We're here with Gabriel Alvarez, Maya Selva Cigars. One of my personal favorites, Maya Selva, or the Florida Selva Maduro. This is so good, and apparently it's pairing really nicely. I drink this beer a lot on the show, the Ballast Point Victory at Sea Porter with coffee and vanilla. It is a very, very nice pairing. Logan, this next segment is brought to us by who?
That's a great question, Rob. This next segment is brought to us by no than Fratello Cigars. Fratello Cigars, delicious. Back to you, Rob.
That is a fantastic. You didn't just make that up, did you?
I swear, that was just completely off the cuff.
Oh, wow. That is,
I was about to do something like, you know, Fratello Cigars, you know, founded by Omar Farias, is one of the hottest cigar companies, and da-da-da-da-da, and then I was just like, Fratello Cigars,
They good.
By now. You
know? By now, exactly. So I've got a question.
It works, and it gets a little bit of chuckles.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, you know, it feels more natural that way.
You know, it really does. Like, the day that I actually have a script in front of me I have to read, it's going to be very awkward. Because it's not going to feel very natural.
That'll be the day that I'm reading it, and it'll be just as awkward, but whatever.
Well, but at least it'll like kind of fit your motif. It won't really work for me.
My motif?
That's a good word.
Sure. Anyway, I've got a bunch of audience questions here, so we're going to jump in. We've got some giveaways. We'll get into all that stuff later. If you're listening on the Armed Forces Radio Network, we have giveaways for you guys as well. You email rob@cigarfederation.com, and in your subject line, tell me Maya Silva Cigar Chat, and let me know where you're stationed and how we can get the cigars to you.
Question.
That's kind of open-ended. That's every week if you're listening. Email Rob.
Yeah, that doesn't change. I got a question real quick.
Lay it on me.
Okay, this isn't really for you, but this is for the audience, and we'll get into it real quick. Is that Rob and I had a spirited conversation before Cigar Chat, and every week we do the giveaways. You know, like, we always make you email me and stuff, and I feel like a lot of people don't email me, and there's a lot more people obviously watching than emails that I get. Cool. I would just be curious if you would take 10 seconds right now, email me Logan at Cigar Federation, and tell me, would it be easier if we did an entry text by phone? If I said, to win a 5-pack, text Maya Silva to 55542, would that make it easier for you to text in your questions and for winnings? Go.
Back so to just to be clear, you're asking the people who never email you to email you.
Yeah. Got it. Much, yeah.
Okay. Just
I'm working with the audience. Thanks, Rob. I kind of thought about that halfway through, but I couldn't stop. Go ahead. Continue your question.
Window was open for me to be a jerk, and I had to take it.
You had to take it. I left it open.
So we're gonna stop ignoring Gabriel and his.
We're listening.
Some photo bombs back there.
Where's is that Grace?
Yeah, she's sneaking in.
Get away.
Hi.
Hello. Hola.
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 So Grace and I were exchanging Facebook messages earlier today in reference to some stuff for IPCPR coming up, and she's told me that she's going to get a Cigar Federation branded tube top for you, Logan. That joke is not going to die.
Dude, I'm telling you, man. Like, nice. Here's the deal.
Yeah, see, it's kind of scary, Gabriel, because Logan will wear it.
You guys don't think I will, but I will. Like, listen, I might be a fat guy, but I am comfortable in this body. And I am not afraid to rock it.
Good for you, bro. Good for you.
Thank you, man.
You do make gorgeous babies.
You say that again?
Oh, I said he does make gorgeous babies.
Dude, I know. I don't know how that happened.
She's a cutie. She loves tater tots. Now, for the people who are watching, who watch this show back later, and they're interested in this question from Tracy Drew, they're going to get a lot of stuff that had nothing to do with the question. Right at first, but it's a question from Tracy Drew, and Tracy says that I'm new to the brand and never tried the cigars before from Maya Silva. What sets your cigars apart from others?
Well, we take a different approach to cigar making when it comes to a little bit of the history of our brand. And Maya, when she came out with the Flor de Selva line, she wanted to make something that was true to her land, which was Honduras. And she made the Connecticut, which is 100% Honduran puro, meaning that all the contents, filler, binder, and wrapper, are grown, cultivated, fermented, and Honduran tobacco. So it's 100% Honduran. It's a little different than what other manufacturers are doing because of all the great tobacco that's available to our industry right now from Dominican Republic, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Honduras, Ecuador. They're playing with Panamanian tobacco now. And it's just we try to stay true to the land, and our Connecticut is 100% Honduran. Even the Connecticut wrapper is grown in Talanga Valley by the Plasencia family. Delicious, delicious Connecticut wrapper. And our Maduros is almost 100%, but we had to tweak a little bit and play with it, and they put a Brazilian Matafina on the binder, but everything else is Honduran as well. Our Nicaraguan cigar, the Cumpay line, is 100% Nicaraguan. And then our Via Zamorano, which is our economy cigar, it's our everyday smoke, that's a mix between Honduran and Nicaraguan tobacco with an Indonesian Sumatra wrapper on that. So that's what sets us apart. We try to make a puro. On top of that, each Vitola is blended individually. So that's why you have such a difference between the Robusto and the number 15, the Toros, the Temples. They're all blended individually. Once that blend is done, that recipe is written down, and it's not a ratio change. We use the same tobaccos, but each cigar in our line has its own characteristics.
That's, yeah, I mean, you know, I can attest to that because, like, I freaking love the cigar. And I know I go through phases where I talk about it all the time, and I haven't talked about it in a while. I smoked one recently when I was doing a show, and I can't remember what show it was. But I know I was smoking one on a show earlier when I was talking about it. But it's such a phenomenal cigar. But like Logan said, he didn't really like the number 15, but he loved the Robusto. So there's definitely some big differences there. And there's actually kind of a follow-up question. This one's from Marty Messina. And he asks kind of more a blend-specific question, but it follows up to what we were just talking about. It says, when blending a new cigar, this wasn't the question I wanted to click on. Oops. Oh, well. It's still a follow-up question. When blending a cigar, does the end market affect the blend? In other words, are you guys blending different for the U.S. market than the cigars that have been so successful in the European market?
No. Well, like the Toro, it's a U.S. exclusive. It's not available in Europe. So we blended the Toro specifically for the U.S. market based on the amount of sales that the Toro Vitola has here. You know, it was definitely something that was missing in our portfolio for our sales here because it didn't fail. Every store I went into, everybody would ask me, you guys don't have a Toro? And that's why we came out with the Toro, was just exclusively for that U.S. market. We also came out with the Lancero in the number 20 line. It was more for the European market, but there is still that love for the Lancero here in the U.S. But that's why we, out of 20,000 cigars that we made, 15,000 went to the European market and only 5,000 stayed here in the U.S. Because we know it's a slow seller. It's not something we're in a rush to get rid of. It's a limited edition, and we know it'll eventually sell out. But we weren't going to concentrate on stocking up hugely here with that because we know that the market for here is very slow. It's a hit or miss market depending on where you are.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's – and we hear a lot about that. And, Logan, maybe you can even chime in on this, but the sales of particular Vitolas seem to be kind of regional. And there was actually – and I think it was Mel from M Bombay brought this up in our last show where he was saying that with stores that are in touristy areas – they smaller ring gauges, smaller cigars, quicker smoke, sell a lot better because right. It's just people picking it up and
like,
walking around.
You know, freaking Minnesota probably should sell a lot more petite Coronas than they do in Texas.
Yeah.
Just cold, you know?
Yeah, I mean, weather is a big factor too, so it's just an interesting kind of thing. This is a follow-up here. This one's from Shooter. What percentage of your sales are now in the U.S.?
I want to say maybe about 10%.
Really?
Yeah, we're growing here. It's our third year. We're going on our fourth year here in the U.S. daily. You know, it's we're doing projects with different vendors. We have the project with you guys that we have it on the SigFed store. We have a special project that we're doing now with Thompson Cigars to get that mass reach approach. We did an exclusive for a store out in Texas. We brought one of the Vitolas from Europe. We sold it in Texas. And little by little, it's how we're doing that market penetration and getting our roots, you know, solidified here and strengthened here in the U.S. To be able to be a stronger brand here. And so right now, our sales for our company, you know, thanks to the history that we have in the European market and everything, it's what's sustaining us here in the U.S. to be able to invest and grow here, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, when I said when my response to that, when you said 10%. That's a pretty big number considering that MySell has been around for 20 years in Europe and you've only been here.
I overshot it. I guarantee you I overshot it. brought in quantity of cigars that we're bringing in to put into inventory here and everything else. We had to ramp up now for 16 based on the demand that we developed in 15, and we see it growing already in January, which is typically a slow month, and we've had a great month so far. You know, so it's something that's definitely going to grow. I probably overshot at 10%, honestly, but it's realistically it's probably a 5 or 6. But when I look at my numbers, is I really don't see the numbers for the European market. I handle the U.S. and a little bit of the Caribbean. So I got to look at those numbers here and truly weigh it out as to seeing how much more product I got to bring in based on the demand that's coming in and the growth that we've had in the few months behind us towards projecting for the future. So I look at it as production points and what we're putting into production compared to last year. For the U.S. market, it's a substantial number compared to what we had last year. So
that's awesome. That's good to hear. Logan, as usual, I'm just going to keep firing off these questions.
Yeah, man, you just keep going.
You can jump in whenever you like. This is the question that I actually meant to click on earlier, but you know what? It's my show, so I can't. They can just say that it wasn't a mistake. I did it on purpose. This is a question from John Reinhardt. And he's referencing Cigar Coop's review of the Connecticut Robusto. He said he found it very intriguing because it's got some of those creamy characteristics. He's never had any of your cigars, but he wants to try them. What are the other Connecticut Vitolas that have a similar profile to the Robusto? And maybe I'll tweak his question a little bit. How does the Florida Selva Connecticut differ in the different Vitolas? Maybe that's a better way to ask that question.
Well, the smaller Vitolas are always going to ramp up in strength. So the Siesta is not available online or anything like that. That's our Petit Corona. It's an area exclusive that we give to specific vendors in different areas. Then we have the Fino, which is also an area exclusive, which is kind of like a Lonsdale. It's a 7 with a pigtail, 7-inch by 42.
Really?
It's what a delicious cigar.
And where's that exclusive?
That's an odd size.
I find that very intriguing. Where is that exclusive to?
We have it. Well, it's available in every region, but there's only one store per region that carries it. Mm. So in Miami, we have one store, Cigar Cellar in Coral Gables, that offers it. In Chattanooga, Tennessee, Burns Tobacconist sells it. And little by little, I'm picking stores where they're giving us the love and helping us grow the brand in their stores and giving us that loyalty, where we're giving those area exclusives too. So we're growing it little by little. I might find an online exclusive retailer, you know? Hint, hint.
Well, is that directed at me?
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, I'm looking, man, at your little squirrel.
You subsidize this text code thing and we'll make it happen.
Logan's always swinging the deals, man. That's one thing I will give you credit for, my brother, is you are always – there's always an angle.
Life's a negotiation, Rob.
That is one thing that I love about you, man. There is always a freaking angle, and I love it. That's awesome. I learned so much from you.
Was that a compliment?
That was weird. That was like over? That was like 5 compliments rolled into one. It was very, very odd. And I feel dirty now, so we need to
you
move
should.
On.
You should. Good Lord.
So the Robusto is going to start – you're going to get some spice and some nice cream. To me, my favorite Vitola in the Connecticut would happen to be either the Fino or the number 15. The number 15 is our Torpedo, but it's a 54 ring gauge. But the amount of the blend, the balance between spice and cream on that cigar is absolutely delicious. So if somebody asked me what my personal favorite – would be that you can basically get at any of our retailers would be the number 15 in the Connecticut. That's a must try.
Interesting. All right.
And now the Toro is phenomenal as well.
Well, I know that we're giving away tonight. We're giving away some of the Connecticuts, right? And we're giving away some of the Maduros. Correct. I think John Reinhardt, that was his question. He may have won. So we'll make sure that some of those Connecticuts make its way out to him. This is an interesting question from Charlie here.
We don't ask Charlie's questions.
Charlie, who can not be the SigFed member of the year, apparently.
Yeah, no, he can't.
So now I would have to conversely start the Vote for Charlie campaign.
Why would you do such a thing?
Because I gave you too many compliments. Now I need to be a jerk again. So let's see. So this question here, he says, why the use of the Honduran Connecticut shade over U.S. or Ecuadorian? Is it availability, flavor, better aesthetics?
It was basically because we wanted to stay true to the Honduran tobacco. You know, our owner, Maya Selva, she's from Honduras. You know, she was born in France. Her dad's Honduran, and she was raised in Honduras. And she wanted to create an economy there and give back to that land. So originally when the Flor de Ceiba Connecticut came out, it was an Ecuadorian Connecticut because there was not Honduran Connecticut being grown. And about 4 or 5 years into the blend, they were able to get the Honduran Connecticut ready for our cigars, and we tried it, and it was Maya fell in love with the blend at that point again, and it stayed as a Connecticut. It stayed as an Honduran Connecticut there.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm reading the question, I was answering it in my head based on some of the questions we asked earlier. So, but thank you for expounding upon that. Now, there's another question here that I wanted to ask. This one's from Jason Myers, and I feel like Jason Myers wins every week because Jason always asks really good questions, and I think this is a really good question. What are some of your goals for 2016 related to the Maya Selva cigar lines in the U.S.? I mean, are they marketing, sales, events related? Some of the things that you hope to achieve moving forward in 2016?
Well, 16 to me is going to be our year of profound growth and solidification with our clients. You know, this is the year where it's time to shine. And we have an ad coming out now in Cigars and Leisure. We throw a couple of ads into Smoke Magazine. Cigar Journal always has an ad in there. So we're definitely pumping up a little bit more on the marketing. We're going to go more with the digital marketing as well. As you see, when you go into the SigFed page, you usually see our banners there. So little by little, we're expanding our marketing to get more into the consumer's eyes. And on top of that is anytime we get into a new account, we always have an introductory event within the first 30 days to make sure that the clientele from that store gets to know our brand and it's not just sitting on a shelf. So we definitely want to get it into the smokers' hands, have them smoke the cigars, and have them fall in love with it to keep buying it.
I like that, where it was 2016 is the year of profound growth. I like that. That just, like, I feel like I need to write that somewhere where I see it every day and just be my motivational words for the day.
Yeah.
And not profound growth, like, in the waistline. Because, I mean, that's... I need to get on the treadmill or something, man, I'll tell you, because it's... Yeah.
Come back a little bit on the beer.
It's the beer, right? That's what it is. It's the beer, but it's so good. I mean, and especially the dark beer. That's where you get all the calories. That caloric intake.
Woo, I got a question.
All right, go ahead.
Get ready to get some knowledge dropped. Mm-hmm. So, say the U.S. market, the FDA regulates, and it goes tits up. You guys have been in Europe for, you know, forever and a day, 21 years. Do you think having – because, I was at Intertobac, and the amount of regulation in Europe on cigars is absolutely atrocious – and you can't sell directly to shops, you got to go through brokers. Do you think that knowledge would give you an upper hand against all of the companies in the U.S. if it did go that way here in the U.S.?
The strategy is definitely in place already because we're dealing with it. But with the FDA coming in, and we still don't know exactly what's going to happen. Thankfully, we've been registered in the U.S. since 1997.
No.
And we've had small distribution in the U.S. Yeah, we've had small distribution shortly after that. So we should be okay.
So you'd be grandfathered in anyways.
We should be okay to the grandfathering. The thing is, there is any releases after that.
Yeah, that's true.
Once the rules are in place and everything else, everybody's going to suffer there. You know, if we don't have the pockets that the big guys have, you know, it's and hopefully enough people get together and fight it where we can prolong it and hopefully. With a governmental change, something will happen, you know, where the FDA loses some of that power and that stronghold that it's trying to grab.
And somebody planned ahead. You guys have been on the book since 97.
Yeah.
Somebody planned ahead.
And hopefully that helps because we still don't know exactly what's going to happen.
You're right. It's kind of a scary – it's a scary situation for folks who know what's going on. It's scary for folks who, like myself, who – not a very political guy. And a lot of the jargon doesn't mean a whole lot to me.
Right.
My brain works in like colors and shapes.
Like RF, what is it, RGB colors or whatever?
And bright, shiny things. That's how my brain works.
So the most with that is that right now, from what they're saying, is that samples are gone. No more sampling.
Yeah.
So how do we get the cigars into people's hands to try them, to convince them to buy?
One penny.
You know?
Charge a penny.
Yeah. I mean, not that I'm a lawyer or anything, but all you got to, it's some sort of quid pro quo, right? Something for something. So you're giving me a cigar, and I'm giving you a slap on the ass. Or, you know,
you're signing up for an email list or something.
Right, or something. I mean, I'm sure there'll be ways around it. Yeah, it's not ideal, but I think the more concerning thing is the date of which the grandfather clause would come in. That's the most concerning. Examples can be, I mean, like, someone made a good point the other day, is when ship tax back, I don't know, 2011 or 12 or whenever, went from 4 or 5 cents up to 40, everyone thought the industry was going to just be crushed. And have you seen cigar prices go up that much? I mean, yeah, a little bit, but not as much as you would have thought, right? So I think the industry can get around that. I think what the industry can't get around will be definitely the grandfathering date of, you know, 2009 or 2011. If it's something that's as of today, yeah, it'll make it more difficult. Like, say they did, you know, December 31st, 2015, yeah, it would suck, but I think it's manageable.
Right. But a grandfathering date of whenever the rule is put into place will keep a lot of people alive.
Agreed.
Any day past that, this industry has seen an incredible growth in the last 5 years.
Last year especially.
And I see it.
I mean, last year especially, yeah,
getting hurt.
Sorry, go ahead.
I see a lot of the boutiques getting hurt.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. It would just not be good. Bad times.
All that stuff, you know, who's going to pay $35,000-$40,000 per Vitola on a special edition for Cigar Federation?
No
guys have pockets for that, you know?
the pockets run deep around here, Gabe, but not quite that deep, my friends.
Right? You just got to dig up the big bucket of money that you got buried in the backyard.
Hey, you know, even my Powerball winnings, dog.
Yeah, just for
Powerball winnings.
Oh, man, for Powerball. Obviously, Gabriel and I were talking about this. I said, man, I didn't win Powerball. He said, neither did I. That's why I'm here. I was sitting back reading last night, and my wife got a text from her sister who lives in North Carolina and says, hey, did you guys win Powerball? And Dana's like, I don't know yet. They haven't done the drawing or whatever. And she's like, yeah, somebody won from California. And so my wife tells me that. And for a split second, I allowed myself to believe that maybe it was us. And it was a glorious 3 or 4 seconds, which there's a lot of jokes there too, but obviously we didn't win, but man, that would be crazy. Anyway, let's get back to some cigar talk. Anyway, guys, you're listening to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in and spending some time with us. We're here with Gabriel Alvarez of Maya Silva Cigars, one of our personal favorites. I speak for Logan and myself in that. Love hanging out with Gabriel and shooting the breeze, as they say. Or they used to say, anyway. Logan, this final segment is brought to us by who?
Our good friends at Drew Estate. Drew Estate for life.
They good.
They good.
Drew Estate had a good year, too. So there's a lot of fun stuff to talk about.
So hold on. Now, I know we don't ever get into this on the show, but I want to ask, because I'm curious to hear people's opinions. Did everyone see the consensus? I'm sure everyone saw it.
The half wheel consensus.
Well, it's the new media consensus compiled by halfwheel.com.
Sure.
But we won't get into semantics. It's kind of like assistant to the CEO or, you know, the assistant CEO. But anyways, my question is that did you see Sokka and all of the craziness that ensued after that? Did you guys see that?
I did.
Gabriel, did you see it?
I briefly saw something about it, yeah.
Okay, let me just ask, and it's not related to Sokka or the blow-up or anything, I have my own opinions about that, but the question is about buzz around a cigar. Do you think that a cigar that is bad, I mean, I wouldn't say bad, But do you think that just because, I mean, a buzz is enough to push a cigar to being a lot of top-rated cigars for the year? Or is buzz not enough? Because I think that's the question, ultimately, that was raised by Charlie, is that is buzz enough to get you to top ratings on people's site just because of who you are or where you've come from or your history? Do you think buzz is enough?
Well, remember, these lists are normally cigars that came out that year.
Correct.
So yeah, I would think buzz has something to do with it as long as the cigar stands up to the buzz.
I personally
haven't had a chance to try it. I haven't found it locally here. I haven't traveled in about 2 months now, so in my travels before that, the cigar hadn't shipped yet, and I was home already when it started shipping, so I've been dying to try it to see what everybody's talking about. You know, I'm a fan of the factory. I'm a fan of his, so, I mean, I can't personally give you my opinion on the cigar, but definitely buzz will have something to do with the list based on, you know, he was sold out without having product at the show.
Yep.
You know, I think he
didn't have samples
in production.
Yep.
You know, incredible. That's incredible. That's got a lot to say about his history in this industry, you know, and people just trusting in him that he's going to come out with a kick-ass cigar. And hopefully it'll give him the longevity to stay and come out with new things. I'm sure, you know, that's just round one. But I definitely think buzz has a lot to do with it, especially with the way it sold and sold out and everybody looking for it and trying to get it, and the people that did smoke it, they probably weren't let down by what they tried.
Yep.
But one thing that I will add to that, and then we'll move on. Buzz is important, but as we saw a couple of years ago when House of Emilio cigars kind of dominated that list, there were a ton of them on there. And that was the year that the Ezra Zion Tantrum, which is also a very good cigar, was the consensus number one. I think availability and reaching out to online media outlets, cigar federations and cigar coops and cigar dojo, things like that, making your cigars available to them so they can actually try it, is a big thing as well. I think that's important. If it's a great cigar and I can't get my hands on it, how can I give it a score or rate it or put it in my list if I can't get it? So yep. Making those now cigars available is a huge thing.
I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Being that side of the industry, what percentage of smokers follow these media outlets?
It's a good question.
You know, are you saying just, you know, bad analogy, but Joe Smoker? Just like Joe Smoker that follows a Half Wheel or a Cigar Federation.
Yeah, I mean, the percentage of smokers in the U.S., I'm talking about just U.S., how many out of all the people that buy cigars in the U.S. actually tune in to these shows, log into the blogs, and read up on the cigars? Or do they, or is it still an 80% that walk in and just pick cigars based on what they've smoked before or tobacconist recommendations?
Now, if you would have asked me this question...
Oh, I wanted to answer this first.
You can answer in a second. If you would have asked me this question...
Oh, burn, dog!
If you would have asked me this question 4 years ago, I would have said 5%. Something like that. I think that, and we've seen it here on Cigar Federation over the last few years, the number of people who... new people who join the site and maintain a level of activity on the site, meaning they're posting questions, they're posting photos, they're engaging with each other. That number has grown astronomically for us over the last 24 months. So for me, I feel like that number, while it's probably less than 20%, and maybe it's close to 10, it's growing. In the same way that your sales number in America, is in the U.S., is growing, it's probably... not as high of a number as I would like it to be, but that at least, and I can only speak for our traffic numbers and our membership numbers and the interaction that we get on our site and our shows and our podcast downloads and things like that, all of that stuff for us for the last 24 months has skyrocketed. So I can only assume that that number is growing. I can't really venture a guess as to what it is, 15% maybe, but it's definitely growing. Logan, your answer.
I mean... I mean, I think there's a couple ways to define this. I mean, I think the percentage of people, when you say follow, like, I go to Cigar Federation every single day. I go to Half Wheel every single day. I think that percentage is very small.
I don't think he meant, like, religiously follow, like, but get right, their information from, in essence.
You know, I would have said that before, I wouldn't say it's declining. I mean, I think if you ask me, I think Cigar Aficionado and their reach, because people don't really read magazines. So I think, I wouldn't say it's necessarily one side, but I think people will look on the internet, but I still think most people see, and this maybe I'm wrong about this, but I still think most people see sites as one opinion, and they're going to take an opinion of someone they know or a friend unless they become more embedded in the community. So I think sites definitely have pull, but I would have said before seeing the thread that Sokka had, I saw some of people were like, bloggers don't know what they're talking about, they're jerks and all this crap. So I think there's people that are anti that, but at the end of the day, I think it's still a relatively small number, maybe 10-15%, but I think that number is growing just because it's between mobile devices and how easy it is to search for information. Because honestly, tobacconists, the art of it being a tobacconist and actually taking you into a humidor and explaining like what's the difference between this cigar and understanding what you like, you're going to be able to get that from people on the internet much easier than you can get a tobacconist, because most tobacconists don't really do that. They say, hey, here's a Rocky Patel that we have on special that I'm getting a kickback for. Here you go. I mean, that's just the real answer.
I don't know. I don't know how fair that answer is as far as, tobacconists. No, and you have your opinion. I'm not telling you you're wrong. And maybe that's just in the reference or within your experience. I've been to shops just in my area that are on both sides of that, where it's you walk in and it's, hey, here's there's this Fuente Añejo, or here's an Opus X or something. But if I want to know something more, I can see like they kind of get a deer in headlights type situation.
Right.
But then there's others that they walk in and they don't know me personally, but they ask me what I like, and based on what I tell them, they lead me in a direction of something that ends up being a cigar that I like. So I think there's a little bit of both. But yeah, I think you're right. I think it is kind of a dying breed. I don't know if that's the right term. But then I've also seen a lot of guys who write for blogs and have been covering cigars in media from a media standpoint are now working in shops. So that's encouraging to see that with the guys who are they're in it. Like this is what they do all the time now. They're working at the store and they're writing for they're covering their blogs. So yeah, I think it kind of goes both ways, but I think basically the answer that you got from that question, and thank you for asking us a question, that was fun. I think that number's growing. I've got one more question here that I want to ask, and this is not a Maya Selva specific question. It's just a cigar specific question, and we've talked about this before, but I'm curious to hear just maybe how you do it, Gabriel. And this question is from Dave M. He wants to know your preferred way of storing your cigars. Do you keep them wrapped in the cellophane, or do you keep them unwrapped? And there's whenever you ask this question, we can start a thread on this in Cigar Federation right now, and by the end of the week, it'll have like 75 replies and 75 different answers. So I'm curious.
What's the question?
You didn't hear me?
No, I was reading the chat room, doing my job.
Okay. Keeping when you store your cigars, cello or uncello? So Gabriel, how do you prefer?
And why? It all depends, honestly. If it's something that I know I'm going to smoke quickly, I'll leave it in the cello. If it's something I know I'm going to leave in the humidor for a bit, I take it out of the cello.
Yeah, I think it's that's kind of the standard answer. For me, I tend to keep cigars the way that they're sold. If the manufacturer puts the cigar in the box and it doesn't have cellophane on it, I leave it that way. If they put it in and it's got cellophane on it, I tend to leave it in the cellophane. But again, with the extreme example of something where I know that this is a cigar that I'm going to keep for, like, let's talk about, let's say you're the Lanceros. If I had a box of those Lanceros and I knew that I was going to smoke them, once every few months over time because it's a special occasion type cigar, I'd probably take them out and keep them in the box so they're safe, they're not going to get any cracks, broken foot, that kind of thing. That's that's just my input. Logan, do you have any input on that?
Oh, my God. You guys' answer. Listen, people. I'm about to drop some knowledge on you. Is that I don't understand why manufacturers, all manufacturers included, do not put every cigar they make in cello. And the reason I say this is because cello is like a penny, if or cheaper, and it protects the cigar. Like, if you drop a cigar that's not in cello, it's going to crack. I've dropped cigars in cello, and yeah, sometimes they crack, but a lot of times they don't. From the protection
they bounce nicely.
They do bounce nicely. And the next thing is that, yes, if you regulate your humidor to a perfect whatever, you know, 67, 67, 77, whatever you prefer, let's be real. 99.99999, unless your name's Cigar Surgeon, you do not have a humidor that is electronically controlled with, like, gizmos and satellites and, like, is a dehumidifier and has temperature control. Let's just be real. We treat cigars like crap, and they're going to handle it a lot better in the cello than they are without it, without cello on. The other reason is that if you have them unceloed, and for some reason you have a manufacturer that doesn't freeze the cigars to negative 20 or doesn't use any sort of pesticides or, you know, stuff to keep the bugs out, you're going to have a much better chance of containing any beetle outbreak in when it's in cello than not within cello.
Oh, those little bastards will cut right through that cello, man.
Got a better shot.
They'll and cut right lastly, through it in a perfect little circle.
So
not that it's ever happened to me.
Nothing's around to me either. But and the last point is that the only time I ever monkey with taking something, putting it into cello, taking it out of cello,
What the hell just happened? That was very entertaining.
You put a reverb on or something?
Yeah, yeah, kind of a he had a, like a Max Headroom thing going there. If you guys are, but Logan popped right back on. That was funny. So thanks, Dave, for the question there. So we've got a few minutes left here as Logan gets resituated. You good?
Did I drop?
Should I just kick him out? I should just kick Logan. Stop talking. We've got a few minutes left.
Just completely just draw out of the middle.
He can't even bitch.
This is hilarious. So Gabriel, what we got a few minutes left. What can we look forward to from Maya Selva in 2016?
I hate you all. did I drop in the middle of my rant or what?
Oh, you did this beautiful. It was actually kind of hilarious. It makes for horrible radio, but it was pretty funny.
Sound effects and everything.
It was great. So let's see.
2016.
Yeah. Because Logan, how much time do we have left?
Not a whole lot of time, but I'll tell you right now.
So give us the 60-second reply here.
All right. So 2016, you should see some really nice growth for us, getting into more retailers. And we're going to be coming out with some goodies this year as well. A couple more line expansions, remarketing the Kumpai line. It's a completely new look on it, new boxes, new rings, completely different image. Same great cigar, just a different image on it. So little by little, you're going to see some more focus on the other brands that we offer the clients.
Okay. Any new lines in the works?
No. We do have the plan on launching a whole new line dedicated to our 20th anniversary. But that's going to hit Europe first and probably see us in 2017 if everything goes well with the FDA.
Okay, fair enough. Now, I asked you this offline, but I'm going to ask you this again because, I mean, a guy can hope. You know, I've seen the Natural and the Lancero, which has a Habano wrapper. Any hope that we can see the Florida Selva Maduro in a Lancero? Any hope?
Flor de Selva Maduro, we will be launching a box press this year. Mm. That's our goal for, if not pre-IPCPR, at IPCPR. Mm-hmm. And the Lancero Vitola, if we do it, I would probably hope to see it maybe in 17 for the 5th anniversary of the Maduro collection.
That sounds beautiful, man. I'm glad I asked that question. Because you didn't drop that second nugget when we were talking offline. You told me about the box press.
The show, right?
Oh, you had to save it. That was good. That was good. So we're coming up at the end of our AFRN segment. I want to thank all of our Armed Forces Radio listeners. Thank you so much for everything that you guys do. I say it time and time and again that you guys are built to do something that I'm not built to do. And you make it safe for me to sit here and talk about cigars. And I appreciate every day that you guys spend, protecting our freedom around the world. So thank you for taking some time. I hope you were able to relax for about an hour and hang out with us. Gabriel, thanks for hanging out with us. Always a pleasure to chat with you. Let everybody know real quick where they can find you online, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that.
Gabe Alvarez _ on Instagram, Maya Silva Cigars on Instagram, Facebook. Just look me up, Gabriel Alvarez, and for the company page, facebook.com/ Maya Silva Cigars US.
Awesome. Gabriel, thanks so much. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you, guys.
We'll be back next week with Vivalo Cigars, which is a relatively new company, and I'm excited because I haven't actually tried these cigars yet. So that should be a fun show with Patrick Vivalo. So thanks again. You guys can find us at CigarFederation.com. Everybody have a great weekend. Stay safe, and we'll catch you next week on CigarFederation.com. All right, okay, so we're back. So we're still live, and we've still got some giveaways to do. Logan is having some serious issues. He keeps popping back in and popping back out, so I'm just going to run this solo for the rest of the way as far as I'm concerned. He's having some issues. Oh, there he is. Are you back?
Breaking annoying.
You're back. You can say fuck, shit, bitch, cock, and balls now. Because we're...
Motherfucker.
Yeah, there you go. You feel better? After just sometimes you just
shit gotta, ain't fucking working.
Sometimes you just got to drop a bomb. But that's the first time you've had internet issues in a long time.
I know, dude. My internet's pretty solid, but lately it's been kind of janky. It's been kind of Gabriel.
Hey, it's after we complained about it, and you called out the what was it? It's AT&T that you have, right?
Yeah, they must have boosted my signal or something.
They did, because once you called them out, your picture got clearer, and we could understand you, and that's awesome. So Logan, we've got a ton of prizes, right? I picked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I picked 6 winners, and he drops off again. So here's what we're going to do. We're not going to rely on Logan's connection. I'm just going to go ahead. I'm going to announce these winners. Logan's going to keep popping in and out and jacking up the audio.
Hey, contest. You can hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you. I picked 6 winners.
Hey.
So they're all going to email you. So I'm going to announce these guys right now.
All right,
so
just email.
These winners, email Logan at CigarFederation.com. Don't email Rob. You email Rob, you lose.
You don't get shit.
Logan at CigarFederation.com. In the subject line, put Maya Silva Cigar Chat. Put your date of birth so we can confirm that you are of legal smoking age. And your mailing address. Winners are in no particular – well, actually, in a very particular order, in the order that I asked your questions. Tracy Drew, Marty Messina, John Reinhardt, Charlie. Does anybody know Charlie's last name?
Haskell.
Haskell, Charlie Haskell. I didn't know that.
Like Charlie ain't going to win member of the motherfucking year. That's what his name is.
Like Eddie Haskell. Do you remember Eddie Haskell from Leave It to Beaver?
Leave It to Beaver, yeah, man.
He was the neighbor kid who was always really nice, but he was a total jerk in real life. Maybe that's Charlie. I don't know. Jason Myers and Dave M. Those are our winners. Tracy Drew, Marty Messina, John Reinhardt, Charlie Haskell, Jason Myers, and Dave M. are the winners. So email Logan at CigarFederation.com. Keeps dropping off. So, Gabriel, we're also – I mean, thank you for sponsoring the Cigar Federation Member of the Year contest again.
Not a problem, sir. My pleasure. Yeah,
that's awesome. It was a big success last year. Shooter, Uncle Shooter was the winner, and rightfully so. I don't know if you can win in back-to-back years, but I imagine that Shooter's going to point some votes in other directions. So I'll have some stuff posted up on Cigar Federation starting on Monday. and we'll let the voting, the nominations go for a few days, just like we did last year, and then the voting will go for a few days, and we'll announce a winner in the coming weeks for the Member of the Year for 2015. We're a little bit late. Logan was kind of MIA in December, and I was not feeling well, so it just didn't happen. So, you know, we're still going to get it done.
Fuck this noise.
He keeps chiming in. For all of our podcast listeners, we're going to pick a couple podcast winners as well. Podcast, email Rob. You guys know the drill.
Why do they email you? Why don't they just email me? It's much easier.
It just makes more sense when they email me. That's how it's been. This is what we've done. We're sticking with it. And I know that Forrest Vess is always going to be the first person who emails me. Forrest emails first every freaking week. Email Rob at Cigar Federation. Put myself a podcast in there, date of birth, and a mailing address. And we'll pick a couple. I'll reach out to those winners directly. Logan, anything else? What else do you want to cover, man? We can't see you, so that's actually kind of cool.
I did it so my internet wouldn't fucking freak out. So I got a question for Gabriel.
Oh, go.
When are you and your Chica going to have a baby?
Ah, who knows?
Is she watching this?
No.
Okay, well, that's why he's saying that. No.
She might watch it later, though, so think about your answer here.
That's true.
You got to think about your answer.
We're still trying to get life in order, so.
You guys have been married for just over a year, yeah?
Like 2 years.
Getting to a year now in March.
Say that again?
Getting to a year now in March.
Okay. Oh, in March. Oh, so it hasn't even been a year yet. Oh, you guys got plenty of time. You got plenty of time. You're young. You guys are both young, so that's good. Good for you. That's awesome. It's funny, man. I follow both of you guys. We're friends on Facebook, so I always see when you guys are taking your trips and you're going to Disneyland or whatever it is, and you guys look so goddamn happy.
We are.
It's awesome, man. I'm really happy for you guys. It's nice to see people that – I mean, Logan and I have been doing this long enough that we develop semi-personal relationships with some of you guys, and we've hung out with you on several occasions, talked on several occasions, same with Grace. And so it's really nice to see two people that you like find each other and be really happy. So there's my warm and fuzzy moment for
God damn, what are you doing? Like, do we need to, like, bust out the kumbaya or what? Yeah, fuck, man?
It's a new year. I'm life is good. I'm happy, so I'd like to see other people happy.
That's fair.
Can't I just be happy and be happy about other people being happy? That's nothing wrong with that. There's so much bullshit going on, isn't it? You might as well just be happy.
Rob's running for Miss America. I just want world peace and people to be happy.
I'd get the crown, and then they'd have to give it to somebody else.
Your hair's long enough to be a woman.
Oh, it's getting there. It's
burned.
You can't see it because I got the little.
Can you please take your beanie off?
Negative, bro.
Dude, because you look like fucking awesome.
No beanie here.
We've talked about this. I've got a bit of the hairline that's, you know, losing the battle, but it's on camera. It looks like 10 times worse than it does in real life. And I've also got a light.
Wearing so many fucking beanies.
What's that?
It's probably from wearing so many beanies.
Oh no, man! I was cursed from the beginning. I always had a shitty hairline, always, and it just, you know, it's hanging on, you know. But I make up for it with a pretty sweet beard, which I trimmed up today. I feel pretty good about this.
You want to know a guy that just emailed us trying to win cigars?
Ooh.
His name, I hope this is his real name. His name's Dave Muffet.
Yeah, I know Dave, actually.
That's a great name.
Dave Muffet. Yeah, I know him. I know him a little bit.
Like, who was supposed to win again? Tracy Drew.
Tracy Drew, Marty Messina, John Reinhardt, Charlie, Eddie Haskell, Jason Myers, and Dave Muffet.
Oh, so Muffin was going to win?
Not Muffin.
Well, that's Muffin. He's now the Muffin Man, dog. If you want your wings, I'll call you whatever the fuck I want.
Well, this is the first, as far as I know, this is the first time he's posted a question. So, and he's already got a nickname, so that's good. He's.
Hey, buddy, has anyone ever called you the Muffin Man?
Probably.
Please, probably. If you win, I'll double up your winnings if you tell me if anyone's ever called you the Muffin Man.
All right, Dave, if you're still watching, post it in the Q&A. I'll find out, and we'll double his winnings. So, okay, I told Gabriel we'd have him here for about 70 minutes. We've gone a little bit overboard. I saw he cracked a yawn a second ago.
What?
It's getting late over there in Florida, man. I mean, the crickets have already stopped chirping.
Well, the rain didn't let them come out tonight, so.
I thought they were chirping earlier, so. Logan, any parting, questions of wisdom? Dave says yes, they have called him the Muffin Man.
Yes.
So there you go, double the winnings. There it is. Yes, they have. So double up on that. And
question is, do you like being called the Muffin Man?
I'll answer that question myself. My last name is Rasmussen, so I got a lot of Rasputin when I was younger. Didn't really bother me one way or the other. I mean,
did anyone ever come up to you and say, "This dick is what rules Russia"?
No, nobody
you don't
ever.
Know that? No, I'm the only man that knows history around.
No, I'm familiar with who. You probably know better about who Rasputin was, but I'm familiar with who he was.
But you know the quote, right, or not?
No, I did not know that quote.
So he was fucking the Tsarist, and he was some kind of like gypsy, like wonder vagabond guy, and he was fucking the Tsarist or whatever of Russia, and he got up on top of the Kremlin or whatever, the palace or whatever, and pulled his cock out and said, "This dick is what rules Russia."
That's awesome.
I know, it's fucking great. And then he like got killed or something.
Yeah, and then he probably got shot right after. Famous last words, right? Like the most famous last words. No one ever said that to me, but I probably would have just agreed with him. So, yeah, maybe, you know, whatever. What do you know?
That's definitely something we can do tonight before going to bed.
Yeah, I'll get up on top of my house and announce it to my neighborhood, and we'll see what happens. I'll have Dana take video, and then we'll blur everything out.
Well, yeah, a little blurb.
Yeah, we'll blur it out just because I don't want to upset anybody or whatever. Anyway, I don't even know what I'm talking about. Gabriel, man, thanks for hanging out. Looking forward to seeing you in Vegas.
Definitely.
I mean, we talk about it since July.
I'll shoot out to Cali before, I'll let you know.
Say that again?
That if I shoot out to Cali before, I'll let you know.
Absolutely. Are you a beer drinker?
Not really.
No. What, you like the wine? Wine drinker?
Wine, yeah. Okay. I enjoy Napa. I'm definitely a Scotch guy.
Oh, done. Yeah, we'll take care of it. Yeah, if you guys head out, definitely let me know.
For sure.
And thanks for hanging out, Logan. I'm sorry that your internet connection sucked. Yeah, and I don't even know if you can hear me anymore. Anyway, thanks for tuning in, guys. Appreciate it. We'll be back next week, like I said, with Vivalo Cigars. We've got a couple of newer companies, Vivalo, and then La Hoja is on the 28th. And then early February, we're going to be joined by a guy, I don't know if you know, Pete Johnson, but he's going to be on the show in early February. So
made that happen.
So we've got Logan did make that happen.
Told me to do it, and I did it. That's all. I give Rob full credit.
Yeah, I got the assist. I'm like the John Stockton.
You did. I was Karl Malone.
Yeah.
On fools.
We both had little shorts on. It was just kind of, it was a little bit strange. But,
awesome.
Anyway, yeah, no, we've got some good stuff coming up. So, guys, appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in. Download the Cigar Federation app if you have not done so. You can get it on anything that gets apps. It's there. Just look Cigar Federation up, and you can join the conversation on the site. We'll be back next week. Everybody have a great weekend. Stay safe, and we'll see you on CigarFederation.com.
Thank you, guys.
Later.
Later.